Now he who bore for mortal's sake the cross and all its pains, and chose a servant's form to take, the King of glory reigns. Hosanna to the Savior's name, till heaven's rafters ring, and all the ransom hosts proclaim, behold, behold your King. What incredible, beautiful words. And as we apply them today, that's what we're here for. That you, as God's ransomed, receiving his grace, and one day, with all of his saints, be able to raise the rafters of heaven as we say, behold, behold our King. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Before I share the scripture that we're going to think about, one announcement I just want to make to the congregation, and that is typically after our service concludes and the confirmands recess out, there has been quite a popular demand to get a picture of the entire class, and that has typically happened on the steps outside. We took a vote, and they said no. They thought they might get lost in the snow with the white robes. So when the closing hymn comes, we're going to recess out, but then we're going to come back the side aisles. And we should be up here by the time our closing hymn ends and so forth. But if for some reason we're not, just please stay in your pews, and then we'll be able to gather here, and then people will be able to take pictures and so forth. So those of you who have outside parties scheduled, I wish you well. The scripture lesson, which I would have us consider, is part of the epistle lesson for today, namely where St. Paul says this, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." It talks about a race, finishing the race. And I don't know if all of you know this, but this class in particular seems to be a very gifted, athletic, and competitive class. So just taking a few little pictures, we thought we'd show them in all their glory. Have you ever seen a class so eager to get to confirmation class? Did you see? They had their Bibles, their catechisms. They were inspired. That's how they come every day to confirmation, just with that excitement. Running the good race. By the way, did you recognize that music? Any of you guys? Do you know where that comes from? Just say it if you know it. You know me. I can't see your hands anyway. Go ahead. It's the Chariots of Fire theme music. You're right. And do you know what the story of how many of you have seen that movie, Chariots of Fire? This goes back to like 1980 something, okay? The story of Chariots of Fire is actually about somebody who ran a race. And a real person whose name was Eric Little. Thought we were going to get his picture there. Eric Little was from Scotland, and he was a very, very fast runner. In fact, he had world-class speed, such that he was getting ready to participate in the 1912 24 Olympic Games in Paris, France. 1924, that's even older than Pastor Brandt and even your most of your parents probably, even grandparents. But so he was a very fast, he was a sprinter. And he had demonstrated that he certainly had the ability to win the gold medal in the 100-yard dash. He could run that in about, 1924. He could run that in about 10.456 seconds. Let's see, I don't know if my clicker is not. Just trying to get to the, there we go.
Jenny.
No. Thank you. I just wanted the title slide. Thank you. So, anyway, he was getting all ready to go for the Paris Olympic Games. And he would be the one that they thought would win Scotland's under the crown of the Great Britain flag, but Scotland's first gold medal winner in anything. And so he had demonstrated he could beat the field. He was the odds-on favorite to win that gold medal. How many of you would like to be an Olympic-class athlete? That you would be able to compete not just with the county or the state or even the country's best, but the world's greatest athletes. I mean, some of us might have dreams like that. And that's what he was headed for, to win an Olympic gold medal. But in case you don't know the story, as the movie lays it out, it takes some liberties with the story, but it is a true story. When he became aware that the preliminary races to qualify for the 100-yard dash, when he found out that those preliminary runs were on a Sunday, he declined to race. Now, why would he do that? Why would he decline to race because they were on a Sunday? Because to him, that was a violation of God's law. That was a violation of the commandment that said to honor the Sabbath day and to do any form of work or any racing or competitive sports on such a day would be wrong. Well, as you might imagine, his country, delegations from his country, the Olympic Committee of Great Britain, talked with him and said, "You're not serious, are you? I mean, come on, it's just a race. And besides, you can go to church in the morning and the races are in the afternoon. That shouldn't be a problem." And he said, no. They even tried to get the Olympic Committee to move the race to a different day so that he would be able to participate. And the Olympic Committee said, no. So he did not compete in the race that he was sure to win a gold medal in, because he felt that it was against God's will. Now, we may not feel and agree with his particular view on the Sabbath and what it means to honor the Sabbath. We might look at it today or even back then and said, "That's, you can still honor God in the Sabbath and still compete on a Sunday." I mean, don't we feel that way? I mean, after all, how many of you haven't competed on a Sunday, right? Maybe that's why the Lions don't ever do good on Sundays. They're all so, oh, wait. I wish, well, I'm not even going to comment. So anyway, so we might disagree with his decision at that time. But you know what today is all about? Today is all about you guys making vows to the Lord, promises to the Lord, that you are willing to follow him no matter what. That you are willing to follow him to the very end of your life, and that you will follow him even if it means suffering, yea, even, heaven forbid, to the point of death. And certainly along with that, it means the promise that you certainly would be willing to do God's will rather than do something that would go against it. Now let me ask you, would you be willing to give up an Olympic gold medal if you felt that it would be wrong by God's standards to compete? Would you be willing to give up the championship? Would you be willing to give up, what other things might there be? Would you be willing to give up a certain job or a certain calling? Would you be willing to give up a certain financial gain? Would you be willing to even consider an impact that it might have on a relationship that you might have if you felt that it was going against God's will? That's the type of vows that you are making today. And it's the type of vows that a Christian really makes every day. That we say, Lord, we want to follow you. And that means we are going to put you first in our lives. Some of those from his country said to this Eric Little, said, you know, son, it is for God and country. And you certainly can make some sacrifices so that you can honor your country. And he simply said, I can still honor my country, even though I may not compete for her. It's a powerful story. It's a powerful, powerful story of someone who was willing to stand up because of the strength and grace that God had worked in his life. Now, so what's the movie about? If all it is a guy who finds out the races are on a Sunday and he doesn't compete. Well, it just so happens that although he was not as competitive in a different race, he did enter a different race because there was one whose trials and finals and everything were not on a Sunday. And that is, he would run in the quarter mile. The 440, those of you pre-metric days, remember the 440. It's called the 400 meters today. I don't know, who runs that here? What's the fastest that we can run that? Anybody know the fastest at St. Lawrence? Guys, what's the fastest a quarter mile? 400 meters, just say it if you know it. Anybody? Under a minute, maybe? Under a minute, certainly. I think I can remember one young lady a few years ago who was just under a minute for that, or right at a minute. I think there's been some guys that have been in the, 58, 57 maybe? That's pretty fast. Well, he was against world-class competition, and he was not anticipated to win at all. But before he raced that day, he received a note, and it was from another competitor, and it said this. It said, best of wishes to you this day. As the good book says, he who honors me, I will honor him. And so he competed in that race. And one thing you have to know about Eric Little is that even though he was world-class sprinter and fast, he did not have very good form. When he got near the end of the race, he would kind of flail his arms and he would tip his head back as if almost that he just ran the last few yards by faith, that he couldn't even see where the tape was. He would just kind of go back like that. That's how he ran. Just imagine how much faster he could be if he had good form. But this is simply part of the race that they reproduce for that 400 meters. He was not supposed to win, of course. But as he's racing, you hear him say things that are played in the background to his sister, where he says, you know, Jen, I was made for a purpose, but God also made me fast. And so he said, I can use the gifts that God has given me in order to honor him in whatever I do.
Jenny, I believe God made me for a purpose. But he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure.
He won that race. He wasn't supposed to, but he would say by God's grace, he was able to compete and win the gold medal. But Eric Little is not remembered because he won the 400 meters at the, or 400, 440 at the 1924 Paris Games. He's remembered because of what he chose to do, because of his conscience and his commitment to the Lord. What a lot of people don't know about Eric Little, because the movie ends there. After that race in 1924, in 1925, he went to China. He gave up running, and he went to China because he was a missionary. He was raised by his parents in China, and he went back there to share the good news of Jesus with the Chinese people. And he got married, he had a family, and they lived over there sharing the good news of Jesus with the Chinese people. And then things got tense. World War II started to come. And he could tell there was going to be problems, so he said to his wife and children, he said, I want you to go back home, but I'm going to stay here and be with the people that are here. And eventually the Chinese put these foreign nationals into internment camps, which were places that were of deplorable conditions, but places where they had to be because they weren't, it was during that wartime. And so he served as a mentor. He led Bible studies. He served as a father figure to so many of the people there. And he was one that would demonstrate of what it meant to be a Christian. And in fact, there was one young man who at one point, his shoes were all worn out. And when Eric saw that, he came out the next day and he handed him a pair of track spikes. He handed him his track spikes, the very shoes that he had worn in the Olympic gold medal race. Because he said, these aren't doing anything. When there is a brother who needs shoes, we need to take care of that need. You see, he understood that the Christian life is a race. And it's a long race. And it can be a very challenging race. There's ups and downs, and there's things that get in the way, and there's distractions, and so many things that go on. But God has given to each one of you, as he gave to this Eric Little, the strength and perseverance to endure for that race, as well as the gifts and blessings that he wants to use in your life. For Eric, he said it was his speed that was a gift of God that he could use to share the good news with others. What is it for you? Maybe some of you will be a world-class athlete. Whether it's in the Olympics or in some other sport, maybe some of you will have such notoriety that God blesses you with, and you can then use that as an opportunity to share what it means to be a Christian. To stand out in the middle of this world and show what it means to be humble before your God and to love him and to follow him. Life is a race, and we get the grace of God to get us through. And so as we celebrate with you on this day, we do so with the knowledge that whether you want to consider this the starting point or a midway checkpoint or whatever it might be, the race is a good race. It's a race that God gives, and a race that God gives the grace to run, and yes, to win. He doesn't promise that we're going to win the Olympic gold in another event if we stand up and give something up for him. That's what he chose to do for Eric. But he has chosen to give, promise to give us the peace of mind and heart of knowing that we belong to him and we live our lives for him. And so we pray God's richest blessings on all that you do. May Jesus be with you throughout your race. In his name, amen.